Jesus.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And happy Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM WMIE FM, Today's Modern Worship, 8:30 of a morning, 5 o'clock of an evening, right here on 91.5 FM at 10:30. We will be rebroadcasting on WWBC 1510 AM. And we pray that you had a great weekend and that your heart is stirred, your faith is stirred to seek the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And, that whatever God wants to do to motivate you to seek him, that's going to be a good thing. We're going to be talking about motivators to seeking today. That's what we're going to begin talking about. But first, we want to say thank you to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have any block or concrete work that needs to be done, they are the folks to call. They primarily deal with general contractors. And I've told you that, some of the contractors I've dealt with said, "Oh, my concrete guy is your concrete guy." When we were discussing jobs, and that's who they utilize. And so, if you want the job done right the first time, because concrete is an unforgiving material. I don't know if you've ever seen a concrete job that was done badly. I have. I can tell you from some of the concrete jobs that I've seen, I can tell you who didn't do the job. I came in one time and my wife were watching a movie. It wasn't my type of movie. It was a food movie, and they were watching it, and it was about these elevated chefs, and just the one scene in the movie, that's the only one I remember, is that this chef is tasting a dish that another chef had been trying to perfect, and she had been telling this other chef, I think it was a guy, how to make it, and after tasting it, she said this: did you use such and such sugar in preparing this dish? And the guy says, "Oh, come on, don't tell me that you can taste the brand of the sugar that I used." And she said, no, of course not. I can taste the brand of the sugar that you didn't use." And so there was something missing in the recipe because he had used a cheaper substitute. Well, I can tell you from some of the concrete jobs that I've been around that Jits Concrete didn't do those. The peaks and valleys and all sorts of inconsistencies and things like that. If you want a job done the right way, give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804, and tell them that Pastor Bob from the Refresh Radio program told you to give them a call. Plan it for a ways out, because you don't know exactly how far out you got to schedule things in today's construction environment. 321-536-5804. So, We talked last week about why some people don't seek God. So now I want to ask you, what's it going to take to motivate us to seek God? After nearly three decades of pastoring, senior pastoring, over four decades of being in the ministry now, I can tell you this. A lot of times people respond to negative motivating impulses quicker than they do positive. We're going to talk about some negative impulses, some negative motivators, and we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but we might talk about a good portion of the chapter from a topic standpoint. But verse number 20 says, "As for the beauty of his ornaments, he set it in majesty, but they made from it the images of their abominations, their detestable things. Therefore I have made it like refuse to them. I will give it as plunder into the hands of strangers, into the wicked of the earth as spoil, and they shall defile it. I will turn my face from them, and they will defile my secret place, for robbers shall enter it and defile it. Make a chain, for the land is filled with crimes of blood, and the city is full of violence. Therefore I will bring the worst of the Gentiles, and they will possess the houses. I will cause the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled." Verse number 25, destruction comes. "They will seek peace, but there shall be none. Disaster will come upon disaster, and rumor will be upon rumor. Then they will seek a vision from a prophet, but the law will perish from the priest and counsel from the elders. The king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve I will judge them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord." So, we're here talking about the things that people were looking for, and they were seeking in verse number 25 for a couple of things. They were going to be seeking for peace, and they were going to be seeking a vision from a prophet. So we're going to figure out how did they get there. First of all, in verse number 3, God says that he's going to judge the people according to their ways. He's going to judge the people according to your ways. In verse number 3, "Now the end has come upon you, and I will send my anger against you, and I will judge you according to your ways, and I will repay you for all your abominations." The difference between the great white throne judgment and the Bema Seat judgment judgment seat of Christ, is this: we are judged at the judgment seat of Christ because we have relationship with God. And because of that relationship, we have been empowered to do things by faith and through supernatural power that we would not have been able to do on our own. There is a judgment seat of reward. Things will be tried by fire. That which was wood, hay, and stubble is going to be consumed. That is which is gold, metal, precious stone, it's going to be refined. It's going to be shining forth as precious treasure, and it's going to be presented to God. It is a reward ceremony. The Great White Throne Judgment is a judgment that is reserved for those who rejected God as their Lord and as their Savior. And there they are judged according to their ways. I don't ever want to be judged according to my works as a means to salvation. I don't work to be saved. That's a gospel of works. I work because I'm saved. That is a miraculous intervention in our lives by God Almighty, who can do greater things through us than we could ever imagine. So he says, because of all that you've done, I'm going to judge you according to your ways. And then there is a phrase that is mentioned at least 3 times in Ezekiel chapter 7. I think it's just 3 times, but it might be more. In verse number 3, it says this: "Then you shall know that I am the Lord." In verse number 9, it says, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes." In verse number 27, the chapter concludes, "Then they shall know that I am the Lord." I believe that that phrase, "Then you shall know that I am the Lord," is one of the key passages for the book of Ezekiel, in that it tells us what God's heart is. He desires for all of us to know him as the Lord God. He wants us to seek him. Okay? And whenever we find God, we're going to find the entire contingency, the entire entourage of who God is and what he brings with him. All of the blessings come with him. Then they shall know that I'm... Everything God does is motivated for this one great truth, and that is that you know him as your personal Lord and Savior. You say, why is all this bad stuff happening to me? I want to ask you, have you ever had something good happen to you that you didn't deserve? Did it cause you to thank God? Did it cause you to reach out to him and say, thank you? You know, before I came into the radio studio, I had had a conversation with someone a few days ago, and I said, are you sure about this? And it was about a blessing that they'd got in their life. I thought that they were doubling up, that they might have forgotten that they had already given thanks for something that God done, and said, no, this is what God did above and beyond that. And so when it's not just that we know him in the past, but we know him currently, we know him intimately, we know him personally. That's the way God, he just doesn't want you to know about him. He wants us to know him. Now, sandwiched in between the one in verse number 4 and the one in verse number 27 is the one in verse 9, and it says, then you shall know that I am the Lord who strikes. Okay? It says that in verse number 9, my eye will not spare, nor will I have pity. I will repay you according to your ways, and your abominations will be in your midst. If you don't think, you say, wait a minute, that's Old Testament, that's Old Covenant. If you don't think that God is serious about dealing with rebellious people who have rejected everything God and chosen to do life their own way, listen, I have never seen our society in so much anarchy where everybody does what is right in their own eyes. And so many people making decisions from a legal perspective that, well, everybody's doing what is right in their own eyes. God help us. God help us in that situation. When there's a time when God is going to say, I've approached you with mercy, and now I'm going to have to use a different tactic, because God doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to everlasting life. And because he desires for us to know him as Lord and Savior, he is willing to withdraw his hand for a little while and allow the enemy to come in, so that people will learn the distinct difference between God's sovereignty in men's lives and the devil's oppression. So in verse number 15, it talks about some of the conditions that Israel was experiencing. They had the sword outside of the city. They had pestilence and famine within the city. Okay? If you want to see what the stage of the world looks like, when God is pouring out his wrath, go ahead and read the book of Revelation. Okay? A lot of people say, man, look at the story of Job and look at all the suffering there. Job's story was about the devil's wrath being poured out on Job's life and God intervening with his hand of mercy and using Job Job endured a lot of pain and suffering and heartache. Listen, the devil doesn't want to fool around with you. He wants to bring as much heartache and misery and pain as possible. Thank God for that God establishes boundaries. It's an entirely different matter when God says enough is enough. And the great tribulation is not about the wrath of Satan. It is about the wrath of God on humanity, who has rejected every step of God's redemptive purpose. And they said, nope, we will do it our way. And God says, then I will do it mine. It's a plague on humanity, and it results in huge, huge portions of the human population dying. I mean, the coronavirus has killed a bunch of people, but that doesn't even get honorable mention to the percentages of the world's population. It would be the equivalent in our times right now, that there are multiple instances in the book of Revelation where it talks about 1/3 of the human population would be destroyed. That would be about the equivalent of 2.3 billion with a B. 2.3 billion with a B. That's a lot. There's sword outside, because what this says is destruction comes. I want you to see what destruction looks like. It's the sword outside. It's pestilence within. It is a lack of food within. It's a lack of water. In verse number 19, it talks about that gold is worthless. Let's look at that. They will throw their silver into their streets, and their gold will be like refuse. Their silver and their gold will not be able to deliver them. In the day of the wrath of the Lord, they will not satisfy their souls nor fill their stomachs, because it became their stumbling block of iniquity. So there is an absence of peace. They're under attack by the enemy. There is sickness and disease inside. There is famine. There's no food. There's no water. And there's an economic meltdown that is going on. And in verse number 19, it talks about, and they have unsatisfied souls. Unsatisfied souls. There is nothing that will satisfy but Jesus. Nothing. Everything else is just temporary. Jesus told the woman at the well that he would have given her water and she would have never thirsted again. She was still thinking on a temporal plane. He was talking about bringing a satisfaction to her soul that she had never known or even imagined that it could have existed. I tell stories about people whose lives have been transformed, that God brought them from a place of misery to a place of blessing. And it was such a transformation. One of them said, I used to apologize for all of the blessing, and then I realized I don't have to apologize for being blessed. And it's not because they're special. God's no respecter of persons. Listen, he will bring you to that place of satisfaction. And I am of this persuasion. Once you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, the temptations of the enemy lose their appeal. They lose their temptation factor. And all of a sudden, the devil is going to leave a much more disheartened individual, because he's not used to being rejected when he offers temptation. I hope that you have seen that God is better than anything this world has to offer. It says, then they shall know that I am the Lord. We talked about that already. So there's destruction on the outside, and on the inside, with all of this stuff that is going on, it says that the people will seek peace. They will seek peace. They will seek the shalom of God, the peace of God. And a lot of people identify peace as an absence of conflict, just kind of a tranquil state that, look, we're not fighting right now, so everything's good. They think of peace more as a ceasefire than a united, harmonious relationship. God is looking to bring united harmony into your spiritual life. I don't like conflict. I just don't. It, as far as I'm concerned, conflict robs a perfectly good day of the blessings of God. But relationship is worth fighting for. I think that too many people treat relationships as disposable things instead of treasured gifts from God that should be contended for. So I tell people, don't just sweep things under the rug. Deal with the core issue. Whenever I'm doing premarital counseling, I tell people that you need to find out why something is going on, why it's a behavior in one and unacceptable in the other, and what do you have to do to move forward to resolve that issue. Don't just ignore it. The Bible is never about ignoring problems. God never ignores your sin. He empowers you by His Holy Spirit so that you don't do those things repeatedly over and over again. The shalom that they were looking for was not only peace, but it was wholeness, it was prosperity, and it was safety. They were seeking all of the things that they used to have when they were living in covenant relationship with God, but they had chosen to worship other gods. A horrifying thing happened a week ago. Horrifying. Where someone got up on the floor of the House of Representatives, and one part of it made big headlines in that they closed their prayer with a man and a woman. But before that, they had directed their prayer to the monotheistic god Brahma. And this was supposed to have been a Christian minister that was leading the prayer. If that was your pastor, nobody from that area is probably hearing this message. I believe it was Michigan. I want to give you some spiritual counsel. Find a different church. Find a church where the pastor believes in God, believes in the Word of God, preaches the Word of God, and lives the Word of God. Okay? That's my spiritual counsel to you. What happened was these people started worshiping other gods, and the shalom that they had experienced was gone. Jerusalem was the city of peace, and now it's the city under attack. It's the city where there's the sword outside and there's sickness inside. The people who are inside, they've got no soundness in their body. And there's not an adequate food supply. There's not an adequate water supply. Everything looks horrible. And the people are looking for peace. Where are you going to go when you're looking for peace? When there's an economic crisis, well, you can't go to the government because the government doesn't have any more solutions. Most of the time, the kings were living terrified up in their palace as much as the people were. It says in verse number 26, it says, then they will seek a vision from a prophet. They will seek a vision from a prophet. they will turn their attention to the last person that they knew that had a word from God. They said, look, we need a path out of here. You know, I don't know how bad it has to get before you start looking for a path out of the lifestyle you've been living in. But these people had reached it, and it said they started seeking a vision from a prophet. Now, let me just say this about prophets real quick. There are a lot of people that want to go around and call themselves prophets. Prophet is not a title that one is given. A prophet is a purpose, as a person with a purpose, and that purpose is to summon people into a relationship with the living God, the one true God. A prophet's main purpose was not telling people on next Tuesday you're going to get a check in the mail. That's not what a prophet's primary responsibility is. A prophet's primary concern is your relationship as an individual with God and the relationship of a group of people with God. And he will summon you. He will challenge you with the word of God and present you options. If my people, which are called by my name, if, the biggest two-letter word in the English language, it sets us up for blessings or curses depending upon how we respond to the if that is set before us. So they start looking to the prophet for a vision, and guess what they found? They found he didn't know a way out any better than they did. It said the law will perish from the priest and counsel from the elders. It goes on, the king will mourn, the prince will be clothed with desolation, the hands of the common people will tremble. I will do to them according to their way, and according to what they deserve, I will judge them. Then they shall know that I am Lord. You know what I can tell you about 2021? God wants America to know him as the Lord God Almighty once again. And I can tell you this, God will employ every strategy he needs to bring us back to that place where we experience the shalom, that the peace that God wants us to have. I don't know about you, but I would rather have the sword far, far away than I would have to have the sword right outside the city gates. I would rather have my body healthy than sick. I would rather to be plenty of food than not enough food. I would prefer economic blessing instead of economic crisis and people thriving spiritually rather than starving to death spiritually. God wants you and I seeking him so that we know he is not just God, he's my God, and he's your God. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail.